Praise the Lord. How many's glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? I wish the whole church was here.
Because man, do I have a message tonight.
My message or the lesson tonight titled is Realize the Promise Through Spiritual Warfare. Turn around, look at your neighbor and tell them we're in a warfare. But there's power in prayer. Oh, I've got to say that again. There's power in prayer. James, the 5th chapter, starting with the 13th verse. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. We have anybody cheerful here tonight? Hallelujah. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call to the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he have committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Boy, when you pray, God, don't let it rain, and it don't rain for 3 years and 6 months, somebody knows how to pray. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, tonight that you would anoint and bless. God, I pray for your total leading and guidance. God, that you would touch and that you would minister in this place. God, anoint me to teach your word. Anoint every ear to hear, every heart to receive. And God, we give you praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. James, talking about prayer, he relates the story of Elijah. That Elijah prayed and there was no rain. Then he prayed again and there came rain. He was literally saying the prayer of Elijah controlled the rain. Amen. I'm going to say that again. The prayer of Elijah controlled the rain. It literally caused the atmosphere to obey the prayer of God's children. I wish somebody would have prayed over the rain today. We could have had a bigger crowd, Pastor Fred. But I want to talk about this tonight. I want you to look with me with 2 Kings 18th chapter and the first verse. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the earth. Listen, if God says I will, it's going to happen. Amen. I'm going to say that again. If God says I will, you can go to bank on it. If God said he'll do it, you can go to bank on it. I like those words in the Bible, I will. Jesus said, I will come again. Amen. Jesus said, if you ask in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered, I will be in the midst of them. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Can you say amen? Amen. But through the word of the Lord, the very voice of God, he heard it's going to rain. That should be all you need. If the word says it, it's so. Amen. You can go to bank on it. God said it. Therefore, it's so. Not only that, but through spiritual insight. 18 and 41. Listen to what he says. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. Elijah didn't hear it with his physical ear, but Pastor Freddie heard it with his spiritual ear. You know, you can hear things with your spiritual ear. Yes. I mean, you can just get that insight. Get ready, it's going to rain. Amen. Turn around and look at your neighbor and say, get ready, there's a sound of an abundance of rain. Listen, that's easy to say now while it's raining. But if there was no rain for 3 years, to say that, listen, in my spirit, I feel there's going to be some rain. Have you ever just had God quicken you and you go, wow? Have you ever got up on Sunday morning and went, woo? Man, I got a feeling we're going to have a service today. I got a feeling God's going to show up. Anybody ever been there? I mean, has God ever quickened your spirit and said, stop here? Well, pull over, you know, slow down, stop. Don't go there. Come on, somebody. Amen. I mean, have you ever been driving down the road and God said, turn here? And you go, God, I'm not going that way. He said, turn here. There is we have a spiritual relationship with God that God can speak to us spiritually. What we need to do is open up our spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Amen. Have you ever had God say, go pray for that person? Amen. And then you go, okay, God, if this is really you, the worship team will sing. And then the worship team sings and you go, but now if it's really you. And by the time you got to argue with God, God told someone else to go do it. And you missed your blessing. Let me tell you something. We do not need a spiritual medium between us and God. I have a personal relationship with God. He can speak to me. Can you say amen? Amen. So he spoke to him with spiritual insight and said, it's going to rain. So now if you hear it from the mouth of God and you feel it in your spirit, it's going to rain. I mean, you got a testimony. It's going to rain. Then why did he pray? If God said it was going to rain and he felt it in the spirit, why would he pray for rain? Pastor Mullins, I'm going to bring you over a chicken dinner today. Oh, God, send him with a chicken dinner. If he said he was going to do it, he is going to do it. If you trust God. Oh, yeah, by the way, you remember I told you Sunday about my sister and how I was going to fly out there? And they text me back and said, don't come. I shall live and not die. Sunday after I left church, I got to the light and my phone went off and I had a text message from my brother-in-law. I opened it up and looked at it sitting at the light and it said, praise God, the doctor just left. He cannot believe the difference from one day to another. You know where my sister is right now? Sitting at home in her living room. Oh, someone say amen. Saturday, it didn't look good, but I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. God said he was going to do it. He's going to do it. Can you say amen? Oh, I feel like shouting. Why would you pray? Listen, he said he earnestly prayed. The word for earnestly is poshush, which literally means a place set apart or suited for the offering of prayer. You know, sometimes you need to set yourself apart and pray. Get away from everybody and every distraction. Amen. I mean, excuse me, but I'm going to my prayer closet. Right. Amen. You know, you need to find a place to make it your prayer room. Make it your prayer space. And you say, I've got to get away from everybody else. I've got to go into my prayer closet. One time I'm going to preach about a prayer closet. I'm going to preach about take your word of God in there. Take your prayer list in there. Go in there and get alone with God and pray. He got away from himself and earnestly prayed.
Right.
He prayed and the rain stopped. Listen. According to Matthew 16 and 19, we have the keys
We have been given the keys of heaven. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He bound up the rain, and then he loosed the rain. We have been given the keys to heaven. I wish I had a whole lot of time to talk about the keys. What are the keys? But we can literally unlock. Oh, I got to move on. I'll never get through this. But why did he pray for the promise? Why would he pray for something God already said he was going to do? Anybody got an answer? Why would you pray if God said he was going to do it? He was going to spiritual warfare. Now I'm going to do some teaching. I want you to stick with me, because when we get done tonight, you're going to know how to pray. Daniel 10, 12. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard." Did you hear that? From the first day you prayed, your words were heard. And I have become, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Listen to what it says. Everybody understand this. You've got to catch this. There is a spiritual leadership in the principalities. The enemy has placed a spiritual leadership over Lindenhurst. It was one guy in charge and others under him. You usually can tell what kind of spiritual warfare you're in under a city by what's going on in the city. If you got a whole lot of porno places, you're battling a perverted sexual spirit. Amen. There's religious spirits. Come on, somebody. There is addiction spirits. When everybody's addicted to drugs and alcohol, there's an addiction. There can be rebellious spirits. Anybody hear me? So here, as Gabriel was coming back with the answer, there was a spiritual warfare. The enemy was trying to keep Gabriel from coming back with the answer. You know, when you pray and the answer's on its way, the enemy is going to fight the answer coming your way. So there's times when you got to get down and you got to start praying against the forces of the principalities of the air. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? For our enemy is not carnal, but it is spiritual. It is mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. We do not fight the enemy with our fists, but we fight him on our knees. We fight him with prayer. We fight him in the name of Jesus, and he is defeated because we are spiritually superior to the enemy. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have given you power to tread upon scorpions and serpents, and none which shall harm you. Amen. Amen. So the answer is there, but the enemy is fighting to keep us from getting it. God said it's going to rain. It's going to rain. Now, why would the enemy fight that? Because it would make Elijah look like a liar. And Elijah was the one troubling the land. You know, the devil would just love to make Evangel Church of God look like liars. The devil would just love for us to preach something that never happens. But that's why we go to spiritual warfare. Right. Now listen, anybody got any children that's not saved? Did God tell you they were going to be saved? Quit praying God save him. He said he would do it. Now pray against the forces of hell that is holding them back. Amen. Tell the devil to get his hands off. Tell alcoholism it's got to go. Tell drug addiction it's got to go. Tell rebellion it's got to go. Go to spiritual warfare that the answer can come. Can you say amen? Oh, this is good. This is good stuff. Our weapons are spiritual. We fight against principalities. against spiritual wickedness in high places. But we are spiritually superior. Turn and look at your neighbor and say, we're spiritually superior. Listen to me. If you could only understand the power of prayer. Now, I like Elijah. He prayed with faith. Turn around and say, pray with faith. He prayed a consistent prayer. He got down. He sent his servant off. Said, you go look. Wait for the clouds. And he got down and prayed. And his servant came back. He said, what'd you see? He said, nothing. Go look again and pray. See, some of us give up too easy. Some of us surrender too easy. Some of us take the bad news. I'm glad my sister didn't take the bad news of Saturday and just give up. But she said, don't worry about it. God said, you shall live and not die. I'm going to be all right. I wish somebody would understand. We don't give up. We keep on praying. We keep on getting a hold of God. We don't stop until we hear the answer. Can you say amen? Amen. There are some that say, you pray once and don't pray for it again. No, I'm going to pray until I see it. I'm going to be consistent in prayer. I might pray this time, Brother Foss, and I might not see the answer, but I'm going to pray again. Go look for the answer. It's going to come. Go look for a cloud. Can you say amen? Amen. He came back again and no answer. He came back six times and there was no cloud. Some of us will be, oh, my knee hurts now. Maybe I'll pray tomorrow. Maybe I'll call Pastor Mullins. We'll pass the baton. Let someone else pray. He prayed through human tendencies of doubt and fear. You know what happens after a while when you don't get the answer? The enemy starts saying, did you really hear the sound of an abundance of rain? Maybe you heard a faucet going. Did you really hear the word of God, or was this made up in you? Anybody ever been there? Had the enemy come in and say, nah, see, you didn't really hear that. You know, don't you really, you know, no. I remember I was a young pastor, and God started really using me and praying for people around the altars, and God would give me a word for them, and it scared me to death. I mean, I was like, oh God, is this really you? Anybody ever been there? And I preached a New Year's Eve service. And I went in and I preached, and people came to the altar praying, and I was praying, and I come to this one sister, and I God bless her in this year. You know how you used to have a saying, you know, God's alive in 95, or, you know, it'll get fixed in 96, you know, and I was just praying, God bless her. And the Lord gave me a word, and I was like, is this really you, God? And I just went like this, and I prayed for her husband, and I went like this and said, God said, get back there. And then doubt came. And then fear came. You know, God, is this really you? Is this really, I mean, is this just something in my mind? And, oh, God, if I say this and it ain't true, they're going to, you know what I mean? So I went back and prayed for again. I started to leave again, and God said, sit! And I said, the Lord wants you to know that you are special. That you are a jewel in his hand. You are special in the kingdom of God. And she went into weeping out loud, crying. And I just went on and prayed. I was like, praise God. I must have hit, you know, glory to God. This is a beautiful thing. After service, I'm sitting there, and her husband looked at me and said, do you pray all the time? I go, what do you mean? Said, when we pulled up in front of the church in the car, my wife says, I hope Pastor Mullins has a word for me. I don't feel like I'm nothing in the kingdom of God. At that point, doubt left. Right. Somebody say amen. Fear left. Amen. But the enemy would want to work on you with doubt and fear. Amen. Amen. The God might say, get up and dance. Oh, Lord, I don't know. No. You need to step out on faith. But sometimes we need to pray through those tendencies. Sometimes when we hear the doctor say there's no hope, and then we begin to doubt and fear, oh God, what am I going to do? What's going to happen now? Oh God, and so we've got to pray through that. We've got to bring our body under subjection. I said, we've got to bring our body under subjection, because if the devil can get us doubting in fear, then we're not walking in faith. Then we can't receive, because it comes by faith. That's why we got to pray ourselves back to faith. And I can see Elijah going down and the enemy saying, it's been five times and there's no rain. Why don't you stop praying? Oh God, I bring myself under subjection, not to my own will, not to what I feel, not to what I see, not to what I hear, but I've got to stand on your word. You told me it's going to rain. I heard it with my own spiritual ears, and he began to pray through.
Amen.
I told you, I wish everybody's here. Sometimes we got to pray through ourselves.
Right. Amen.
Pray ourselves out of the way,
right,
to believe God. The answer, 1 Kings 18, 42 through 46, he came back. He said, is there a cloud the size of a man's hand? Most of us would have gone, oh man. But don't you know, little can become much in the hand of God Almighty.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to say that again. Little can become much in the hand of God. It was the jawbone of a donkey that Samson used. It was five smooth stones took out of a brook that David used. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? Hallelujah. It was a rod in the hand of Moses stretched over the water that the Red Sea spread apart. Listen, what do you got in your hand? What it might look little to you. It might not look like much, but hold on. God's going to bless. God's going to move. Can you say amen? Sometimes we need to look for the little things and begin to rejoice in the little things. Sometimes when we rejoice in the little things, God begins to open up. Amen. Let me tell you how great God is. My brother-in-law, I talked to him yesterday, and he was telling me about how the doctor was amazed at the change in sister. And he said, let me tell you. He said, I went to the hospital that day. I had $10 in my pocket. My bank account was empty. I was running low on gas, didn't know what was going to have food. He said, I'm rejoicing that my wife is feeling great. Someone came to visit my wife, gave her a card. I walked them downstairs. By the time I got back up, my wife had opened up the card and it was a check for $500.
Amen.
Anybody hear me what I'm saying? Oh, you see, sometimes we can get all caught up and I've only got $10 in my pocket and oh God, what's going to happen? And here he is. The card was already in my sister's hand, and all the way up from dropping off the person at the door, he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how we're going to make it. And the card was already in her. See, sometimes we need to look at the little things and see that God has blessed us. God is doing a work in us.
Amen.
Praise God. And when we see those little things, and then we know God is able.
Amen.
Me and my wife, we were evangelists, and we went to Mansfield, Ohio to preach a revival, and we went to this little church. And we went and had a great service. It was one night service. Great service. I used my dad's car to go there. When I walked out afterwards, someone walked up to me and said, oh yeah, by the way, you got a flat tire. And then left. The whole church left. And there we were with a flat tire. I take off my jacket. I said, honey, you know, and Stephanie was with us. She was a baby. I said, get the baby in the car. You know, I'm going to have to change this tire. Open up the trunk, and guess what I found? No spare tire. In the middle of Mansfield. Don't know anybody around us. I don't even know the pastor's phone number. Nobody's phone number. So I walk out to the street and I look down, I see a gas station. I told my wife, I'm going to drive this flat tire down to the gas station and get air. We went down the road, kaplunk, 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 kaplunk. And you know how you do that? People drive by and go, you got a flat. Thank you. Duh. Pulled in the gas station, and guess what? It was closed. I looked at my wife, my baby was in the car. I said, honey, I guess the best thing I can do is drive back. If we can get to Route 30, which was a main road, we get there, there's got to be a gas station. And I'm telling you, I went over and laid hands on the tire and said, God, just put enough air in it to get us to the gas station. Started driving down the road, and my wife is here to tell you, it was going ka-plunk, 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 ka-plunk. By the time I got to the gas station, the tire was almost full. Listen to me. That little thing let me know that my God is able. Anybody just got a little miracle God has done for you? Maybe you didn't know how you was going to eat and $10 happened in your pocket. Amen. Have you ever put on your coat and reached in your pocket and found money? Oh, yeah. Or maybe that just happens to me. Amen. I'm talking about the promises of God. And when you do that, you get that fresh God. If you said you would do it, you will do it. Amen. You will do it. And I'm here to tell you, God has showed me over and over and over since I've been here, little things, little miracles, one right after another, that God is going to give us property. God is going to give us building. I'm holding to it. I'm not going to doubt. I'm going to pray through any fear, any doubt. I'm going to hold on to the promise of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Then Elijah spoke and acted on faith. As soon as this man said, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand, Elijah said, run and tell the king. Get out of here and get down. It's going to rain. Some of us would have said, well, let's wait till it gets bigger. Let's see what the newsman says. I don't trust newsman. We're supposed to get snow all day and rain tonight. I got up and shoveled snow. By the time I got back outside, it was raining. And then somebody say, thank God it warmed up. Could you imagine all this snow? Praise God for rain. Wait, no, let me examine that cloud. The size of a man's hand. I wish I could tell you what God can do with a man's hand. Isn't he mad? He didn't say the size of a man, the size of a bush. Some writers believe that it literally looked like the hand of a man flowing up. What God can do with the man's hand. He spoke and then he acted. There was a heavy rain. Turn and look at your neighbor and say, heavy rain. I went to go pray for someone, walked outside. There was a heavy rain. Threw my coat over my head, got to the car, got the umbrella, and was soaked. I'm talking about a heavy rain. When God sends it, it's not just a trickle. I said, when God sends it, it's not just a trickle. When God does it, you know it's God. You know it's a miracle. Listen, how easy would it have been for someone to say, and he came back and said, I see black, dark clouds rolling over. Everybody said, well, it was just ordinary rain. And God said, no, I'm proving it was me. I'm just sending a little cloud. Oh, I don't think you caught that. Sometimes it happens a certain way so God can show you it's really him.
Amen.
Amen. If it worked out another way, you might get the glory or someone else get the glory. Have you ever went, wow, how did this happen? Wow, no one else could have done this. It had to be God. Amen. I don't see how this worked out if it wasn't God. I don't see how this took place if it wasn't God. But I'm here to tell you, if I would have pulled over and pumped up the air in the tire, I would have got glory. But God was letting me know, you go preach, I'll take care of you.
Amen.
Filled that tire up, went on home. I don't even think we changed it. I don't even think it went flat again. God not only filled it up, he fixed it.
Amen.
The word brought forth literally means to sprout, to bud, to put forth new leaves, to produce. You see, when we pray and we believe God and we're in consistent prayer and we go to spiritual warfare, we pray through our own fears and our own doubts. I'm going to stick with that just for a moment. How many of you ever prayed and then wavered and, okay, God, is this really going to take place? Okay, God. I'm praying, but you know what? I don't know. R.W. Shambach said one time that they called him on the phone. A lady in the church was dying. They said, you got to come to the hospital and pray for you. He said, when I got there, they were doing funeral arrangements. He said, why did you call me? You called me to pray and you're doing funeral arrangements. Why'd you call me? We called you to pray for her to be healed. Then why are you making funeral arrangements? He said, I told everybody to leave the room. It was in intensive care. I went over and told the nurses, can you guys move out of here? They said, why? He said, I'm going to do surgery. What do you mean surgery? He said, I'm going to take this oil, I'm going to anoint that head, and God's going to heal him. One nurse said, can I stick around? He goes, no, you won't let me in your surgery? You're not staying in mine. He said, by the time he anointed the person and prayed for him, God healed him. Other people in intensive care were saying, preacher, can you do surgery over here? Isn't it amazing that we'll call for prayer and then go to figuring out the funeral procession? Sometimes we need to hold on to God and we need to trust him, because when we pray, it will produce. I said, when we pray with faith, it will produce. Try and look at your neighbor and say, it will produce. But we've got to pray spiritual warfare prayer. We've got to pray through our own fears and doubts. We've got to be consistent in prayer. Someone asked me one time, said, Pastor, if I pray for God to heal my foot and then pray again, is that doubt? No. That's praying consistently till you get an answer. Let me give you scripture. Jesus prayed for a blind man and said, how do you see? He said, I see men like trees. In other words, I see people blurry. Jesus didn't say, you know, I'm not praying for you again. That's doubt. No, Jesus laid hands on him again. And then said, now how do you see? I see all men clearly. Pray. Anybody know what push stands for? Pray until something happens. Pray until you get the answer. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. Be consistent in prayer. And if you hear there's no clouds coming, keep praying. Keep believing. Keep trusting God. Keep standing on the promises of God. Pray through your fears and your doubts. Said, then it brought forth fruit. The word fruit is karpos, which literally means that which originates or comes from something, an effect. I like that word, effect. An effect. You know, when you pray, it affects. It brings an effect. When you pray, it will bring forth fruit from your prayer.
Amen.
When we pray, it'll bring forth fruit. That's why the enemy wants to keep the rain from coming, because he's afraid of the fruit. He's afraid of someone seeing what God's doing and seeing the answer. Somebody say amen. And then get in touch. That's why we got to be consistent in prayer. If we believe God said he was going to do it, he's going to do it. Let us stand on the promise. But we've got to keep praying. We've got to go to spiritual warfare. We've got to tell the devil, you got to get out of the way so that the rain can come. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Karpos.
comes from the word harpazo, which literally means to seize, to carry, off by force, to claim. I like that. Someone turn around and say, claim it.
Claim it.
I'm not, you know, I'm not saying go rub a Cadillac and say it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Because if you don't can't afford it, you don't want it. Too many times we say, God, this Cadillac is mine, and then we buy it and you're calling, Pastor, I can't pay for this Cadillac. Amen. I was pastoring one church and told them they couldn't buy a car unless they talked to me again. Because they kept getting in debt and coming to me. Pastor, I can't make it. Live within your means. Amen. God might give you a Volkswagen, but it's going to start every time you start it. Somebody say amen. That's just good preaching right there. I'm not talking about the kind of name it and claim it to where that you're claiming a house or you're rubbing someone's house and they're calling the cops because you're trespassing. I heard about one Cadillac dealer put a fence around his Cadillac because the church members are coming and rubbing the paint off. I'm talking about claiming the promises. God said it's going to rain. I'm going to hold on. I'm claiming that rain. Amen. God said my sister is going to be healed. She shall not die, but she shall live. I'm claiming it. I'm holding on. Devil, you can't take it from me. Amen. I'm standing on my ground. There is going to be fruit.
Amen.
Amen. When you got to have the faith she has. To say, Doc, I'm glad you gave me the bad news, but I shall live and not die. Ooh, that's good teaching. Karpos also means praise, which is presented to God as a thank offering. I like this. Elijah said to the servant, he said, you go tell Ahab to get down from here. And then Elijah took off running. Whew. And he outran the chariot. Don't you know there's a zeal happens when you get an answer from prayer? Don't you know that there's a praise? Anybody ever got an answer from prayer and you couldn't help but praise God? You just couldn't help. Wherever you were, you're just praising and glorifying God. And you were shouting. It didn't matter where you were. Didn't matter who was around you. You were just praising God and glorifying God. Amen. You come out of the doctor's office and all the bad news the doctor gave you turned around and you're just walking out. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. People are looking at you like you're crazy. But all you know is you've seen the fruit. My God. And there's a praise that is up within you that cannot stop. Some of our problem is we get an answer and we forget to praise for the answer.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, Sunday I could barely get home. Tears running down my eyes. Oh, you're a great God. Praise God. I'm just amazed at you, God. What an awesome God you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I stopped and got us something to eat because my wife was sick, and I was praising God so much I could hardly hear the lady ask me what I wanted. I'm here to tell you there's a praise that bubbles up in you when you know that God has answered your prayer.
Amen.
It amazes me how quickly we lose our praise. Today we're on fire. Oh, glory to God. He's a healer. Next week we're going through something. Oh. Me and my wife was going somewhere, I think going on vacation or something, and something happened. And I got aggravated. I can't believe this, you know. Has anybody ever been there? And my wife grabbed my hand and she said, honey, I don't. I said, forgive me, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? Praise God. She just brought back to remembrance that God had answered my prayer. Anybody got a prayer that was answered? Then give him praise. I don't care what you're going through. You got to give him praise because it is fruit from our lips that God has answered our praise. There's got to be a praise that bubbles up within us.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
What's wrong with you? Man, God is great. God answers praise. God
God is a prayer answering God. The enemy is defeated. The strong codes have come down. Amen. The rain has begun to fall. When we begin to praise him for the answer, how is it spiritual warfare? First of all, hold to what God said he would do. God said, by his stripes, we are healed. Hold to it. Don't let go of it. Amen. I might not be there yet, but I'm on my way. Oh, I might not feel like it right now, but I'm on my way. Amen. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going to believe it and stand on the promises of God. It's not because I lack faith, because I believe God. I'm just fighting a spiritual warfare that is trying to hold it back from me, but I want the devil to know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and he is defeated, and my answer is on the way. Amen. Might not see it yet, but I'm holding to it. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to pray a consistent prayer until I get the answer. Amen. Don't get lazy in your prayer. Don't get complacent in your prayer. Pray until you get an answer. God, I'm going to pray until my children are saved. I don't care if they look right at me and tell me they don't want it. I'm going to pray until they're saved. I'm going to come against the forces of hell. I'm going to tell the devil to get the blinders off. I'm going to bring everything under subjection. I've got the keys of heaven. I'm going to bind the devil and I'm going to loose him. Amen. 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 I'm going to trust God. I had a friend pastor in Galion, Ohio, and we sat down and was talking. He was giving me his testimony how that his son, who was raised in church, through Sunday school, through preaching, been in Pentecostal services. At the age of 19, got with the wrong crowd, got arrested for armed robbery, and went to prison. He said, God, it's hopeless now. I don't understand how he could be raised in church and act like this. It's hopeless now, God. I don't know what's going to happen. And he said his mother would say, shut up, son. God's going to save him. He would say, Mom, but you don't understand. He said, shut up, son. God's going to save him. And every morning she would get on her knees and say, God, you remember right where he is. Save him. He said, you know what happened? In prison, God saved him. God called him. He began to preach. He said, he got out. And no one thought he could. But he got out. He said, you know what he's doing right now, Pastor? He's traveling this country, holding youth revivals, preaching them and telling them, don't fall short. If you've been raised in church, don't walk away. Got the devil to get you, but I'm here to tell you, there is a God. He said, no, he's preaching the gospel. You know what I say to my mom? Don't thank you for not stopping to pray. Thank you for being consistent in your prayer. I might have given up, and I might have said it wasn't going to happen, but Mama, you held on, and you said, my grandson is not going to go to hell. He's going to be saved, and I'm not going to stop until I hear the answer. Amen. Being consistent in prayer. Praying through your own human tendencies. Because we're human, sometimes we have fear. Sometimes we have doubt. Sometimes when we don't see it, when we think we should, we go, God, is it ever going to happen? Sometimes we go, God, I want this, and God's going, no, I got something better over here. So then this shuts down, and we're going, oh, God, I can't believe it. And God's saying, shut up, I got something better for you over here. Amen. God, I don't know why this job, I'm out of this job, and God's going, because I got this job over here. Amen. God, I don't know why I'm going to this country, because I got this over here for you. Because if you were comfortable here, you would never see this. Amen. Oh, that's good teaching. Trust God. Don't give up. Don't let your own human tendencies of fear and doubt. Well, I don't think it's ever going to happen. those words are not allowed in our house. Don't want to hear it. Hush. It is amazing to me how that in our own human tendencies, we can't see good for what's... And sometimes, Pastor Fred, you pastor people and you go, what? I had a lady call me on the phone. Her husband got laid off from his job, was on unemployment. She called me on the phone. I don't even think there's a God. I don't even think he answers my prayer. I'm like, what's wrong? My husband's laid off. And if God don't do something soon, we're going to have to go into one of our savings. I said, you got savings? Yeah, we've got three of them. What? But shut up. I know people wish they had a saving. You need to thank God you got a savings. Amen. You need to be praising God. If you go into your savings, you got a savings. Amen. We were pastoring and me and the Sunday school superintendent was at the church and the phone rang and he went to the phone and it was his daughter and she said, Dad, I think I got a bomb. She was divorced and her ex-husband owed like $8,000 in back child support. She got a box. He went home and peeked in it and it exploded. Inside of it was 16-ounce bottles of gasoline and 16-ounce bottles of gunpowder. Triggered that when you open the lid, it would go off. One bottle of gunpowder went off just a little bit. Gunpowder and smoke was in the air. Nothing else happened. When the FBI took it outside of the city and blew it up, they said it would have blew up half the block. I was like, praise God. Because you were ignorant looking in it. But God overlooked your ignorance and blessed you. I called him, how are you guys doing? Well, praise God, we're doing good. That Sunday morning was there. He come walking in. I'm going to quit this church. Why, you haven't called? My wife is like she's in a funeral. Don't you know how close we come to get blown up? I was like, your wife ought to be running this aisle, praising and glorifying God. You're still alive. I mean, this was a miracle short of the Red Sea parting. And you're alive. And nothing else happened. Your children is alive. Your grandchildren is alive. Because God's hand was upon it. And you're sitting home moaning and groaning. You need to be praising God. You need to have a praise in your lips. I said, what you need to do, I said, I'm not going to accept your resignation until you go home and tell your wife to get to church and get over here and start praising God. After you praise God, if you want to quit, then I'll accept your resignation. He came back and praised God and God blessed him and he didn't get his resignation. I'm here to tell you, sometimes we need to stop feeling sorry for ourselves and letting our own human tendencies and pray through and say, if God said he was going to do a miracle, get ready, there's a miracle that is coming our way. Because if the devil can get us not praying, the devil can get us discouraged. The miracle's not coming. How many's got a miracle tonight? How many's experienced a miracle? Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to close with this. In a 2-year span, me and my wife went through a whole lot. I almost cut my arm off. She got diagnosed with cancer. My daughter's here. I went to Niagara Falls and she presented me with a gift. And the gift, it had a cup that said, Grandpa. I was preaching in Rochester and I decided to go stay with my daughter. So I drove to Niagara Falls to stay with my daughter. That night, my daughter had a miscarriage. Early in the morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning, after I left her bedside, her bawling and crying, I walked down in the parking lot and it was raining. And I said, God, okay, I'll be Job. Though you slay me, yet will I serve you. And I said, devil, I just want you to know, I've got another reason to go to heaven. I have a grandbaby there. Amen. And I said, I'm going to preach. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm not going to give up. God has got a miracle for me. Now I have a wife that's healed. I've got a beautiful grand. Anybody hear me what I'm saying? Amen. Hallelujah. But our own human tendencies is to go into, whoa, am I? It's not going to happen. I prayed 5 times and I haven't seen it yet. I prayed 6 times and I haven't seen it yet. Get ready. There's a hand coming out of the sea. Glory to God. There's a hand that's coming out of the sea with your answer in it. Would you stand with me today?